that the city, every city, is heavy on God's heart.
Good evening, everyone. From historic Moody Church in the heart of Chicago comes Songs in the Night with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, soloist Glenn Jorian, the King's Carolers, and organist John Innes. This is Songs in the Night.
Sorrows may come, days dark and dream, still
with another message on prayer that makes a difference. Here's Dr. Lutzer.
Thanks, Ted, and good evening to you, my friend. The majority of the world's population lives in cities. There are at least 42 cities that have a population of 4 million or more. So if we're not concerned about the cities of our nation and the world, we aren't concerned with what touches the heart of God. There are many examples of prayer for cities in the Bible. We recall Abraham praying for Sodom and Gomorrah, particularly that his nephew Lot might be spared. The Lord answered Abraham's prayer. Lot and his family were taken out of the city. But eventually judgment fell upon these two cities at the southern end of the Dead Sea. Then we recall Jonah sitting outside the city of Nineveh, praying judgment upon the people. Remember that the Lord sent a plant to protect him from the heat, and he was delighted with this small comfort. But when a worm was sent to cut the plant down, Jonah was angry. The Lord was trying to show him how easy it is to become concerned about one's private comforts and have no compassion for people. Despite Jonah's prejudice and nearsightedness, God sent a great revival to the city of Nineveh. And then, of course, we think of Jesus weeping over the city of Jerusalem. Even today, Jerusalem is a city where the name of Christ is not honored. Jesus wept over the city, prayed there. And even so, that city was not spared the judgment of God. But now, my friend, what about you? How is your prayer life? Do the crying needs of the city find a place on your prayer list? Stay tuned as we learn why the cities of the world so desperately need the effective prayers of God's people.
Lonely voices crying in the city, lonely voices sounding like a child, lonely voices come from busy people to disturb. Stop a little while, lonely voices fill my dreams, lonely voices haunt my memory, lonely faces. Another busy day.
As Glenn was singing, I couldn't help but think of the faces that came to my mind from the city of Chicago. And as I speak about Chicago tonight, I want you to be thinking about your own city, your own town, wherever you may live. As some of you know, the city of Chicago is known as the Windy City. This designation, by the way, has nothing to do with the weather. It's a reputation that Chicago inherited because of the politicians who live here. Chicago is a city with 3 million people, though the greater Chicago area has over 7 million. There are 700,000 Hispanics, 42,000 Filipinos. Approximately 40% of the city is black. The rest belongs to various racial and ethnic groups. There is racial, vocational, and ethnic diversity. And so I speak of Chicago, but you as a listener should apply this message to your city. I want to begin talking about the plight of our city. Satan, of course, personally remains invisible, but he's constantly in combat in Chicago and in your city, trying to hold people in the grip of sin and emotional confusion. In Daniel 10:13, we find that there are territorial spirits designated by Satan to be in charge of areas and cities. For example, there's a reference to the Prince of Persia, and later Daniel refers to the Prince of Greece. In the same way, we may speak of the Prince of Chicago, or the Prince of Atlanta or Dallas. No doubt in the hierarchy of evil spirits, assignments are handed out and evil spirits are asked to control certain territories. What are some of the strongholds that Satan uses in this city of Chicago? Well, the first is religion. Perhaps that is Satan's best cover. He is least likely to be detected in our churches and in the religious pursuits of the masses. Much of our city is held in dead traditions and a theology that denies that God can be known personally. In addition to a stale form of Christendom, Chicago is greatly influenced by the Muslim faith. In February 1989, the New York Times said that Islam is the fastest growing religion in the United States. 9 out of 10 converts are black men. Here in Chicago alone, there are at least 34 mosques, all of them built where churches used to be. You see, Islam offers a brotherhood. It gives its converts a new name, a new home, a new sense of identity. While churches have retreated from our inner cities, the Muslim faith has advanced. And thus, because of the religious barrier, Christ is not honored in many people's homes and hearts. Second, there is crime, drugs, and immorality. The murder rate is up in the city of Chicago. This city, known for violence, continues to cling to that reputation. Then there's racism, which creates political, regional, and religious barriers. Fourth, there's occultism. It's on the increase as people seek New Age experiences. The promise is for instant gratification, but the end result is long-term psychological and spiritual disability. Finally, there's pluralism, the belief that every person can do or think whatever he or she wishes. And so people no longer seek truth. They only try to experience whatever pleasures they can for the moment. And so Satan keeps this city wrapped in a blanket of oppression. John wrote, quote, "The world lies in the lap of the evil one." Yes, Chicago, like most great cities, is a place of spiritual darkness. But in a moment, we're going to explore what we can do to shed light in places like Chicago that need light so desperately.
Justice.
thank you for that musical ministry and what a challenge our cities are to every single one of us. Is there any hope for cities like Chicago? We have spoken of the plight of the city. Now I'd like to speak about prayer for the city. It's through fervent prayer that we can remove the invisible barriers to the gospel. Jesus told us, "But no man can enter the strong man's house and plunder his property unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house." That's in Mark 3:27. What Jesus is teaching is that if we wish to go into Satan's territory, we must first of all bind or cripple the strong man. In other words, Satan will not allow the gospel to fall on the ears of men and women until we have prayed through the barriers that he erects so that their minds remain in darkness. Now, this kind of prayer must be continuous. I think we must be willing to pray for weeks and even months. But we can pray as we walk down the streets, claiming each house, each building for God. There must also be corporate prayer. Many people must be involved if we intend to march confidently, freeing those whom Satan keeps as hostages. This involves what is known as combat praying, praying that assaults the enemy and cripples his forces. When the city of Jericho was conquered by Joshua, the assurance was that God had removed the protection of the city, we read. In other words, regardless of how high the walls were, the fact is that God was ready to have those walls collapse so that the enemy might be exposed and put to death. Now, in the very same way, we must view the walls, I mean by that the barriers, that we've spoken about. We must remove these. And we can do that with spiritual artillery. The real question is not the height of the walls nor their thickness, but whether God is prepared to demolish them. And along with prayer, we must also emphasize the presence of God's people. I don't think God will remove these barriers in a vacuum, independently of our own commitment and involvement. Remember that even after the walls of Jericho collapsed, Joshua and his forces still had to go up and fight the enemy. And when we pray that Satan's protection will be removed, we are simply asking that men and women will be free to hear the gospel. And we're trusting God to take away the blindness from their hearts so that they are free to consider at least the claims of Christ. Consequently, as part of our praying, there must be going. We must be willing to be the vehicles that God will use to share the good news of the gospel with all who will listen. Wonderful privilege we have of taking the name of Jesus to the cities of the world. Our city here, Chicago, has both grime and glory, and we've spoken of the plight of the city, but also the prayer that can be offered up in its behalf. We must see Chicago and your city through two separate lenses, The first enables us to see the city in all of its oppression and spiritual slavery. But we must also see it through the optimistic lens of spiritual perception. Here at the Moody Church, we have a tremendous heritage. D.L. Moody began this ministry way back in 1864 with 12 charter members. Later, that first church burned in the Chicago Fire of 1871, and it was relocated in temporary quarters. Another structure was built where Moody Bible Institute stands today, and the present location of this church was dedicated in 1925. Today, more than 125 years after the beginning of this church, we still stand as a light to the city of Chicago. We have the privilege of representing Christ to tens of thousands of people in our neighborhood. But we cannot fulfill our calling unless we fervently pray, believe, and trust God to do a mighty miracle. Through God, we can demolish strongholds and erect monuments to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our heart's desire for Chicago should be your heart's desire for the city in which you live. Because when we pray for the city, we are praying in sympathy with God's heart. In a moment, I'll return with some closing comments.
We cross the crowded ways of life, we sound the cries of race and clan, above the noise of selfish strife, we hear thy voice, O Son of Man. In haunts of wretchedness and need, on shadowed thresholds dark with fears, from paths where hide the lures of greed, we catch the vision of thy tears. From tender childhood's helplessness, from woman's grief, man's burden torn, from famished souls, from sorrow stress, thy heart has never known recoil. The cup of gold again for thee still holds the freshness of thy grace, yet long these knotted roots to see sweet compassion of thy faith. O Master, from the mountainside, make haste to heal these hearts of pain. Among these restless throngs abide, or tread the city streets again.
Listening friend, we'd like to thank you for joining us for this evening's Songs in the Night broadcast. Our program comes from the heart of a great city, a city known more for its politics and crime than for its righteousness. But in this great city, we and many other churches seek to engage the enemy and take back the strongholds of Satan. And one of our chief weapons in this struggle is prayer, prayer for the city, which we know resonates in tune with God's heart. To help you make advances in your prayer life, we'd like to send you a gift. It's a free booklet containing all of Pastor Lutzer's meditations in our current series, Prayer That Makes a Difference. To receive it, just send us a letter with your name and address. Ask for the booklet by that title, Prayer That Makes a Difference, and write to us at Songs in the Night, Moody Church, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When you write, tell us the call letters of this station and pass along any comments you might have about what you've heard tonight. Send your letter to Songs in the Night, Moody Church, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Ted Seeley, thanking each one of you for tuning in. Now, with some closing thoughts, here once again is our pastor at the Moody Church, Dr. Erwin Lutzer.
Thanks, Ted. And indeed, we do come from the heart of a great city, the needy city of Chicago. And in a moment, I'm going to pray for this city and for the city in which you live, because all of our cities are filled with people who need the Lord. But first of all, I want to encourage you, as Ted has suggested, write for your copy of Prayer That Makes a Difference. We want you to be able to refer back to these principles of prayer long after our radio series is over. And your letters mean so much to us, and I want to especially thank those of you who have helped us in support of Songs in the Night. Thank you for your faithfulness. Our address is simply Songs in the Night, Moody Church, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. I'm looking forward to your letter this week. And my friend, let us bow together and pray for the city of Chicago and for your city. And let us ask that the song that we have just heard may be true as we think about the boundless love and transformation of God. Our Lord, we do come to Thee in prayer. We come because we have been invited to come. And Father, I want to pray for the city of Chicago in all of its needs. We think of the struggles and the heartache that exists in so many homes and so many apartments. We think of the crime. We think of the young women who are given over to all kinds of abuses. And Lord, we pray that your gospel might have a powerful impact in this city. And I pray for the many who are listening, for their towns and villages and cities. And we pray, O God, that wherever we find ourselves planted, that we shall be a powerful witness for Christ. We offer ourselves to you in service of the great cities over which you are grieved. In Jesus' name, amen.
Give us songs in the night.